there's pressure in every playoff game that a player plays. But Game 7 seems different. I've been saving my guava, ain't saving no sad. Put out my but I put up a stick. Puts it in. Luka Doncic, red hot to start Game 7. Don't have to chase me, I don't like to wait, and I swear I'm impatient. Leonard on the drive, and the finish! Kawhi Leonard! Everything going Leonard in the Clippers' way.
Man, we just fought hard, we never gave up.
A huge turnaround for the LA Clippers.
They pushed us, we stuck in there, we hung in there, we played for one another. On to the next.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby.
What
exactly is it that we do,
people?
Mr. Rose?
What they want.
The Nets won a big game one. The Hawks won a big game one, but we start the show with Game 7 yesterday in Los Angeles, and it was Kawhi Leonard reminding everyone that he is Kawhi Leonard, and under pressure, he does not crack. Jalen, what do you think about the Clippers winning this tight series against the Mavs?
This was all about Kawhi Leonard, and we talk about playoff versions of Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob, or Rajon Rondo. There's a playoff Kawhi, too. If you notice, when we talk about the MVP race, he's not included. Nope. It's not because the Clippers weren't a high seed. It's because he's become the face psychologically of low management. And when the playoffs come, he takes it to a whole different level. And let me tell you what level that is. When Kawhi start dunking, when is the last time you seen Kawhi have like three or four dunks in a game? He getting tip dunks. He getting drive dunks in the half court. You seen him go baseline and do a two-hand dunk.
Yep.
Like, that's when he's not playing around. You know when you the pickup master. You know when you play basket or a foul. You know when they say board man gets paid. You see him down there grabbing boards, getting and ones. Oh, and on the other end, I got Luka.
Yep.
I got Luka. Now, by the way, ain't nobody slow Luka down. We gonna get to Luka later, cause ain't nobody slowing Luka down. But just the thought that he was gonna take on the challenge, had some great possessions, got some great steals, and really set the tone for that Clippers team who was on the ropes, went seven games with the Mavs, and found a way to advance.
Absolutely, and as much as this was about Kawhi Leonard, they needed some contributions from other people as well, and they got them. Man had some buckets in the first half. Reggie Jackson, former Piston. Luke Kennard, another former Piston. Luke Kennard played 10 minutes and had 11 boards, hit a couple threes. Like, they got key contributions from other players aside from Kawhi Leonard, which they're going to need if they are going to advance in the Western Conference. You did mention we're going to talk about Luka, and this is probably going to be one of the last times we talk about Luka, so let's give this superstar his flowers right now as he performed in Game 7.
And I also want to acknowledge Morris, too, who was knocking down threes for the Clippers. And last but not least, as you show Luka, here's the hat tip I want to give Luka. The ultimate chess move in this series was that they benched Patrick Beverley. Like, just think about something. He's been with that team the last couple of years as their starting point guard. Tyronn Lue was the assistant last year. A squad that had Montrezl Harrell as the sixth man of the year and Patrick Beverley as their starting point guard. A year later, both of those guys are getting DNPs in the playoffs. One, I believe, didn't deserve it in Montrezl Harrell. And two, this is what was needed because that scoring from Reggie Jackson and man that you just talked about, they really needed it. And so I give Ty Lue a lot of credit. But Luka was outstanding. Not only the points, but the assists. He just continues to dazzle. The goal for the Dallas Mavs is who do we put around Luka? Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to be a free agent. You won't get the same value if you tried to move Porzingis. And so what are they going to do to build around Luka? That's the next thing in Dallas because he has elevated himself into not only superstar status, but top player in the game conversation.
You bring in Porzingis to be that big two, to be the secondary scorer for Luka, and it just did not play out that way this season. We'll see what the Mavs do this offseason because Luka needs more help, and we'll see how they try to get it to him. They're in a bit of a pickle. But Jalen Rose, I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed in you, my brother. 10 years we've been doing this show, and you've never been more wrong as you are about the Nets Bucks series. You picked the Bucks. I picked the Nets. Game one. James Harden, he goes off in the first minute, and the Bucks still have no answer because they are balling like KD and Kyrie. Jalen Rose, I'm predicting that tomorrow on the show, you will change your pick after the Bucks are down 0-2. What do they need to change after getting beat by the Nets in game one?
See, in watching Kyrie dazzle with the Cavs and win his championship and watching KD do the exact same thing, you know, I don't know if I just like am so much rooting for Giannis that I want to see him advance and be happy in Milwaukee and possibly win a championship there and up for a long time. But here's what got to happen. He need to play more minutes in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, the numbers that you see Giannis getting, in particular the points in the paint, he could have got another 6 to 10 points if he just played more minutes. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing from the Bucks. Are they going to extend Jrue Holiday? Are they going to extend Chris Middleton? Of course, they need to make their shots. And KD and Kyrie are virtually unstoppable. But I have to say this. You can't lose James Harden and then lose that game, Milwaukee.
Like, I know.
I picked y'all. I'm riding with y'all. And since you're talking about former Pistons, shout to Blake Griffin, who played well. James, their bench mob, played well. Harris played well. And so it was a total team effort by the Nets. But I was really disappointed in the Bucks. When they lose Harden in the first minute, you got to grab that game.
You got to grab that game.
It's going to be a long series, but you got to grab that game.
I was watching this game with Jalen Rose, and every time Giannis had the ball, all he said was, don't settle. He just wants to see Giannis drive to the basket every single possession, and that might be the best strategy for the Milwaukee Bucks. We had another very interesting game one in the Eastern Conference. This was in Philly. The whole question was, will Joel Embiid play? Guess what? Joel Embiid played. But also, guess what? Joel Embiid did not take the Sixers to the win. It was Trae Young and the Hawks that got the big game one win in Philadelphia. What was the key to their victory?
Listen up and get this game. And make sure you repeat this like it's yours, like I do Jacoby quotes. This is a contrast of styles, okay? The Philadelphia Sixers are the only team that their two best players don't primarily shoot the three. And that's Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Good point.
Well, it's just the opposite for the Hawks because their best player is a four-level scorer in Trae Young that can shoot from the logo like Steph Curry and Dame Lillard. So for Philadelphia, you should watch for points in the paint with Joel Embiid's post-ups and drives, with Ben Simmons' drives in transition. But for the Hawks, I want you to watch their pick and rolls. And while Joel Embiid is going to be dominant on the other end because nobody can stop Joel Embiid, he's the most physically skilled, imposing guy we have in the game. And based on that, how can we make him work? We're going to put him in pick and roll. And each time the Hawks get into their half-court set, I don't care if it's Herter, I don't care if it's Bogdanovich, I don't care if it's Trae Young, you're going to see a single pick and roll with Joel Embiid's man, or staggered, where his man is the second screener. That's why you see these lobs to Collins. You saw Trae Young getting a chance to do his runner and floater and turn the corner, but also get himself going at the beginning of the game. So it's going to be a contrast of styles. It's going to be interesting to see if they choose to start Thibault at the beginning of the game versus letting him get going like he did against Danny Green.
Well, you make a good point about Joel Embiid. For someone who was in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year, the Hawks kind of picked on him, and Trae Young is such a dynamic scorer. That floater, don't sleep on that floater. He doesn't need to get to the rim to score because Joel Embiid will drop back so far that Trae Young, he's just like, fine, I'll just float that right there. I'll float that right there. And now, Mr. Rose, we have big news in the National Football League. Julio Jones is no longer with the Falcons. He is now on the Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Julio Jones. No one wants to tackle the Titans. No one wants to tackle the Titans. What does he mean for the Titans and the AFC?
The number one thing is a level of relevancy that now we're going to be talking about their team versus any other team that Julio could have gone to. Right now, we'll be talking about the Seahawks. We'd be talking about the Ravens. We'd be talking about the Niners. So now when you have Derrick Henry, who just ran for 2,000 yards, you have A.J. Brown, who's a legitimate wide receiver number one, and then you add the future Hall of Famer and Julio Jones, their red zone offense should be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Their red zone offense should be unstoppable because both of those guys at receiver can physically block and obviously catch in the red zone against any coverage. But also you got Derrick Henry, the ultimate power back, who, by the way, doesn't catch out of the backfield. So here's the other thing about a Derrick Henry. He's a 3-4 down back, but he doesn't catch out of the backfield. So now you can use your short passing game with Julio and A.J. Brown to actually suffice. I like this for Tannehill. I like this for the Titans. If you're going to compete in the AFC, you got to put some points up on the board and be able to control the clock. They now have a chance to do both.
I like this for the Titans. I like this for Tannehill, but I also like this for Derrick Henry. You cannot load up in the box when you have Brown and Julio on the outside. You just cannot focus on Derrick Henry, and I think he's going to run for another 2,000 yards this year with this addition to the offense. Jalen Rose, we have another update on Aaron Rodgers. He is going to cost himself five figures by not showing up at camp, but will the receivers show
up? Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Will the receivers show up? We'll find out. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. We have two big games Thursday night on ESPN, starting in the Eastern Conference with Game 3 between the Nets and the Bucks, and then at 10 p.m., it is Game 2 between the Clippers and the Jazz. Don't make any plans for Thursday night. NBA on ESPN. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, Jalen Anthony Rose. We all knew that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to show up. However, we now know that it will cost him about $93,000, and the Packers president says the fans are divided. I have a question for you. Is there any fan divided about this? It seems like they're all not divided in the fact that they want Aaron Rodgers to show up and play for the Packers.
First off, he shouldn't be talking right now. He should not be talking right now because he's the guy that helped start this mess in a lot of ways by taking Jordan Love. You see, the head coach wants no parts of those shenanigans. The other thing I want to say is the fans ain't divided. They saw him win MVP last year. They saw their team go to the NFC Championship the last 2 years. And you know what fans want to do? Win. And he can help you do that. So this idea that they're divided, that's just in your mind, sir, because you're trying to create the old, good old, hey, Aaron really doesn't want to be here, fans, so now boo him because he doesn't like Green Bay anymore. No, we're not rolling with that. He's been there for 15-plus years. He got zero guaranteed money on his deal. How would you be if you was with a company for 15-plus years and you had zero guaranteed money on your deal? He looking around the league. Every other quarterback that's a starting quarterback has guaranteed bread. Why don't he? He won't be there, Jacoby, and don't be surprised when he isn't.
One thing that's interesting about this, if you remember, the wide receivers didn't show up earlier. We'll see which wide receivers show up for camp without Aaron Rodgers. And we have some other news, kind of similar. Remember Russell Wilson was in a similar situation with the Seahawks? People were putting him on the Bears. People were putting him on the trading block. However, he will report to OTAs and be the quarterback for the Seahawks. Jalen, I'm going to ask you a question. You previously predicted this would be his last year with the Seahawks. Do you still feel the same way?
I do feel the same way. And I was looking at that Titans deal, right? So They got Julio for a second and a fourth. Did I read that right? You know, my vision ain't the best. If you're Seattle, why are you not trying to do that for Russell? Like, they got to really, like, y'all have to do something special in order to keep this guy in town. Instead, they did just the opposite. So I do stick to my prediction. It's going to be an exciting season. He's a fantastic elite-level top quarterback. And Metcalf and Lockett are going to be going crazy. And you know how much I love Carson in the backfield. So very underrated. But you got to get Julio if you have the chance. They didn't do so. This will be his last year.
This will be Russell Wilson's last year with the Seahawks. Jalen Rose said it first right here on Jalen and Jacoby. And Jalen, you and I were talking about this next series that we're going to discuss, and that is the upcoming series between the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns. And you and I did something that is the key to this series. Tell the people what we unearthed that will swing this series.
Well, we like to go deeper than Atlantis into the box score. And I have a little exercise for you NBA fans out there. When you get a chance, tell me the backup for DeAndre Ayton.
Yep.
Good luck with that.
He don't exist.
Dario Saric, Frank hasn't been a tank since he got to the NBA. And Crowder's 6'6", and so is Cam Johnson, 6'8". And so what I see is whatever Jokic averaged in the previous series, he about to put those numbers on steroids Luka style this series. I'm expecting like 40 on average. Like, and by the way, like I don't just throw out these numbers like players are getting these very easy. Like Luka's numbers, have you ever seen somebody hit like 46 and 14 in the game seven?
Routinely. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Jokic is going to put two fouls on Ayton in the first 5 minutes. Monty Williams is going to call a timeout, look at the bench, and just be like, I don't know.
He's like, get him CP3.
I don't even know what to do. We're going to put Frank Kaminsky on the MVP in the league right now for like 15 minutes in a row. Like, Ayton needs to stay out of foul trouble. This is the key to the series. The Suns just don't have someone for Jokic. They just do not have someone that can cover him outside of DeAndre Ayton. Ayton, please, young man, stay out of foul trouble, because Jokic is going to try to put two on you early, and something tells me that he will tonight at 10 p.m. Jalen, sometimes you take a GOAT for granted. Sometimes there's greatness right in front of you on your television screen, and you take it for granted. And we're not going to let that happen to our GOAT, Simone Biles. Simone Biles is the greatest of all time, and she is at her peak performing right now. It is our time to celebrate this young woman's greatness. Jalen?
And her consistency. And I always admire not only being so very great on a large stage, but doing it at such a young age. Like, you saw what Naomi Osaka was talking about, like dealing with her depression and just being young and being a public figure. The way Simone has continued to not only excel, but also handle herself with such elegance and such class has really been remarkable to see. She reminds me of like how the Williams sisters were as they started to ascend. Mm. Like when I listened to them talk, it was like they're definitely older than me. And then I was like, wait a minute, they sound like they're 10 years older than me. And I always appreciated that about them, and I appreciate that about Simone as well.
Simone Biles, the greatest gymnast of all time at the peak of her powers right now. Jalen, I said I wasn't going to pay for the Mayweather-Paul fight, and I didn't. I streamed it illegally. I illegally streamed it. All kinds of pop-ups. I probably got viruses on my phone. However, it was an interesting show. We will break down the quote-unquote boxing match right after this. You are watching Jalen and Jacoby. Thank you for watching Jalen and Jacoby on television, but don't forget to subscribe and rate the podcast. We always have exclusive content that you can only get on the podcast. It is anywhere you listen to your podcast. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, I did not buy the Logan Paul Mayweather fight, but I streamed it illegally, like a lot of others, because I did not get what I wanted, and I wanted Logan Paul to get knocked out, but it was just Mayweather toying with Paul for an entire match, and at the end, they both survived, and there was no winner because it was just an exhibition. What did you think about the fight?
Keep getting them checks. That's what I think. It was an exhibition. It was easy work for Floyd, easy money for Floyd. I would have liked to see Floyd drop him, but that probably wouldn't have been good for business had he done so. And so, again, I just kind of wish the Paul brothers go away. That's just me. Because, like, it reminds me in a different way of how we elevated the Kardashians. Because, like, I don't want to say that he hasn't earned that stage, but man, for him to take home the kind of money that I'm hearing that he's taking home based on the limited experience that he has, and I didn't know who he was a year ago, you know, keep getting them checks is what I got to say.
I'm ready for the Paul brothers to be out of my life as well, and it's all it's going to take is a couple of knockouts for that to happen. Come on, Woodley. Come on, Woodley. Moving on, the Los Angeles Lakers are out of the playoffs, but they have some decisions to make. Pelinka says that he wants to keep the core together. What do you think that means, and what do you think they'll do?
Well, he is keeping the core together. Himself, Frank Vogel, LeBron James, and AD.
That's the core.
He is keeping them together. Now, if you're a Kuzma, they gonna listen to calls. If you're Schroeder and you're Montrezl Harrell, the negotiating table gonna be a little tougher. Are they gonna sign and trade those players or not? It'll be interesting to see what happens with those three in particular.
I definitely agree with you. They will keep the core together, but the core is LeBron James and Anthony Davis. We'll keep this core together until tomorrow at 2 p.m. on ESPN. We always say we get the people they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content. Now, Mr. Rose, I had the luxury of watching the Nets Bucks with you. And I said on the TV show, but now we're going to talk about it in depth. Every time the Bucks had the ball, you want them to give it to Giannis, and you want Giannis to just drive right to the basket and score. Every single time.
Correct. That's exactly what I want. And I want him to play 40 minutes while doing it. Those are two things that's going to change in game two. Watch. I guarantee you, we're going to look at the minutes in last game. We're going to look at his points, and we're going to look at his points in the paint. And they're going to all be elevated. That's why they're winning game two.
Interesting. Oh, don't do that, Jay. He played 35 minutes. He played 35 minutes in game one. What do you think, 41 minutes in game two?
Yes. I mean, that's another 10 points. Depending on if he attacking or not, or getting to the line, there was something crucial that happened at the end of the KD got in foul trouble.
And Giannis took three free throws in the game. Three.
Correct.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
There you go.
Three.
See, KD got in foul trouble. I think at the end of the second or end of the third, and they didn't take advantage of that. And also, Blake Griffin did a great job of competing offensively, but he's not a rim protector, and he's definitely not 7 feet tall. One time, I'm going to tell you what I saw that if I was Coach Bud, I'd be showing the Bucks over and over again. Brooke Lopez caught it in the paint, and he did a hook dunk like he jumped out of a swimming pool. And he looked like taller and longer than everybody out there.
Because he was.
It needs to be more footage like that for Milwaukee. And as long as they don't get discouraged. And by the way, losing after Harden leaves in the first minute, I was thinking, like, who can overcome that? Right? Because that's devastating. That's a buzzkill. Like, it really is. Like, when that dude go out, y'all get an extra bounce in the huddle. Like, yeah, we about to definitely win today. You know, like, you have to. And so, when you lose that game, I was thinking, like, man, that could be psychologically, you know, deflating for a team. And I was like, if I had to depend on somebody in this situation to bounce back in game two, Giannis was one of the people that came to mind. So I'm not worried about my pick, Jacoby. Middleton's going to play better. They're going to shoot threes better. Blake Griffin has already had his season career playoff high for the rest of this playoffs. So is Mike James. And KD's still going to get 40. But here's the one thing they have to do. The game is more than just about points, rebounds, and assists. Don't underestimate the psychological warfare that takes place.
What's that?
And they were doing it with Harden out there. You got to try to frustrate Kyrie. And what I mean by that is, like, you need somebody that's in his airspace at all times. Like, when he's at the free throw line and somebody else is shooting, just have somebody just go get in his face. Like, somebody, like, at all times. And at the beginning of the game, they had Giannis guarding them when their big three was on the floor. So I saw that that's the area of, like, ideology that they were heading in. Except when James went out, the execution changed and they didn't stick to it. So I believe they now will be more prepared to stick to that plan in game two. And I like you, anticipate a long series, but let's not ignore this. Harden had missed about 27 games with a hamstring injury. Start of the game, he left with a hamstring injury. You know what that tells me? The same thing it told me about Joel Embiid's meniscus. That don't make me feel like I want to go bet on the Nets to win a championship this year. It just doesn't. Okay.
Couple things.
When I tell you I'm taking the Lakers, you taking the Lakers and I'm taking the field, I'll take the field. You can have the Nets, I'm still taking the field. Bucks win game two.
Couple things. Number one, I never said I expect a long series. Okay, I never said that. Don't put words in my mouth because this is going to be a short series. And number two, you can't just take the field like this. You're like, oh, what? Like, this is widely accepted as one of the most wide open seasons in the history of the National Basketball Association. And so you pick one team and say, not them. No. You can't just be doing this field stuff because I have the Nets coming out the Eastern Conference.
I do that when you put together three of the top 12 or 15 players in the league. And that's when I do that, because we now have a distinct favorite that people like you and I can look at and say, they're so skilled, they're so talented, I don't care if they've only played 12 games together. I don't care if LaMarcus Aldridge is out. I don't care if Jeff Green is out. I don't care if they have a first-year coach. We can just dismiss everything about their existence because they have talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so since they have talent and they're the favorite, that's where the Tiger Woods or the field bets come in. And that's the same thing with the Nets.
Okay. I would pick the Nets over the Bucks as I did. I would pick the Nets over the Hawks as I did. And I would pick the Nets over the Sixers as I did, as I will. Because it's going to come down to that. I see the Nets going through now. James Harden, we need him back on the floor. We need him back on the floor. And it is very concerning that it was the same exact injury that kept him out 27 games that kept him out of basically 47 minutes of this one. And he's also out for game two already. Now, Jalen Anthony Rose, another thing I want to talk to you about is the other game this evening. And of course, I'm talking about game one between the Nuggets and the Suns. You and I looked at the, you know, we said, well, who's going to cover Jokic? Ayton. And then there's no second. There's no second. We already discussed that. However, I also want to look at the other side of the ball and say, who's going to cover Book and who's going to cover Chris Paul? You know, because Campazzo, as we learned in the previous series, isn't exactly a defensive stopper.
No. That's your man.
No.
Your man. But here's what they did that was smart. Like, I like to gauge play, like, what's your base business as it relates to your talent set, your skill set? And that's why I always say, like, skill versus will.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, Michael Porter Jr. is the skill, other than Jokic for the Nuggets. He can make the three. He scored like 20 points in the first quarter or something like that in the most recent game. You know, like, he's going to be a prolific scorer for a long time in his league. But you now add the will in Aaron Gordon, so you don't get frustrated at Michael Porter's lack of defensive tenacity.
Yep, good point.
Right? So now you look at two 6'10 players, and they're actually vastly different. And Aaron Gordon, now defensively, just like in the previous series, was charged to guard Damian Lillard. He'll now be charged to guard Devin Booker. And one of the things about Kawhi and about Booker that I just want to point out, like, if you notice, Kawhi shoots a frozen rope. Ain't no arc on that thing.
No.
And if you notice, when he dunks on people, it ain't like, oh my God, look at the hang time type of dunk. It's more like, oh man, I got big hands, I'm strong, I'm powerful, get out of the way, or you get dunked on type of dunk.
Yeah, he don't cock it back. He just sneaks it in.
Right. He ain't. And so I bring that up about Kawhi because it reminds me something about Devin Booker that I want you to watch that you probably didn't notice about his game. You don't have to guard him out to the hash mark. And the reason why that's a big deal, it sometimes can suppress their offense when you can put two toes at the three line versus when you're playing against like a Dame. And that's why I'm bringing this up, because that's what the Nuggets just had to do in the previous series. See, against Dame, you had to guard him at half court. So now, if you can guard Book at the three line, you're not exposing your defense as much to dribble drives off pick and roll, where Book and CP3 feast. The number one, a top three combination in the league besides Draymond Green and Steph Curry is Chris Paul and Ayton, and two sets of Capella and Collins, along with Trae Young. And so the Nuggets will still be able to use their height, is my point. That's going to be a factor. Monte Morris was terrific in the last series. They're going to need Will Barton. They're going to need Will Barton. He's like a like an X factor for me in picking this series. This is a tough one. Hopefully CP3 has recovered and he's healthy. And by the way, he about to give Capazzo a different type of business. He about to give him like the George Foreman, Michael Moore type of body blow, 1-2 to the head type. It ain't gonna be Dame Lillard 40 type of business. It's gonna be like slapping him and throwing him to the floor type of business. And like elbowing him and snaking off pick and rolls and being physical with them type of dominance. Without Jamal Murray.
Well, they got no Jamal Murray. Dozier still hasn't played. And Barton still hasn't played in this series. So we'll see about Dozier and Barton as the series continues.
So on paper, I'm going to pick the Suns.
I can't get past the idea that they don't have anybody for Jokic. Like, it's simple to me. Me and you did it yesterday. We did it yesterday where I was like, well, Aiden gets two fouls early, then what's the counter to that? Like,
well, he's going to be a
Crowder.
Jay Crowder? I bet in Vegas this should be like a pick'em. Because, like, right now is really the first time, like, I'm trying to sort through picking this series. And, I'm thinking about the height of the Nuggets. But I'm also thinking about Chris Paul was banged up in the last series. You know what? I'm going to take Denver.
I'm taking Denver. I just don't see an answer for Jokic. It's just that simple. Like, in the fourth quarter,
I'm going to take Denver.
When the possessions just all start with Jokic with the ball in his hands, I don't see the Suns having an answer. But the Suns
I'm going with the Nuggets. The Nuggets... The Nuggets should be able to defend and will be able to defend a lot better than Portland, because Portland don't play D.
Mm-mm. At the rim or at the perimeter. They don't play D anywhere.
Yeah. So Portland don't play D. So, I'm going with the Nuggets in this series.
I am as well. And I just want to say out loud into a microphone once again, I miss Jamal Murray. You know, I think Jamal Murray on this team makes this a championship favorite, like a championship favorite. And now they're basically a pick'em in a series with the Phoenix Suns.
But you know, one of the things I want to throw out there for the television show is two things that happen in the NBA once every 3 to 5 years. No, I say it like every 5 to 7 years, not 3 to 5 years. Every 5 to 7 years, there's a playoff like this one, where if you were doing a list of the top 8 to 10 players in the league, the only ones probably still remaining in this year's playoffs are Kawhi, KD, and Harden.
Embiid.
And Embiid, right? Of a top 10, if you were doing a top 10, right? And so that's only 40% of the best players.
Yep.
And why do I bring that up? Usually in the NBA, the best players win every championship.
Or get to the second round. Forget the championship. At least, usually in the second round, there's like of the top 10 players, like 8 of them are in there.
Correct. And not lose in the first round. And then here's the other thing I want to point out that'd be a good like to acknowledge. Philadelphia and who else? Philadelphia. So the only teams that's currently in the playoffs that have won championships in the history of their franchise are Philly. They have won 83, Dr. J, Moses. Mm-hmm. And the other team remaining that has a championship is one more. It's only one more.
Philly, the Hawks didn't win.
The Bucks
have won.
The mm-hmm. Bucks. They have won with Lou Alcindor. So just think about what I just said now. There are six of their, most of the teams currently in their franchise's history have never won a championship. Never, never. And then two teams who haven't won it since Dr. J and Kareem was playing for them.
Yeah.
So where I'm getting is, every 5 to 7 years in the NBA, you get what I call an unlikely champion. That's what's going to happen this year. We're going to get an unlikely champion.
The last unlikely champion we had was probably the Mavs with Dirk. That was probably the last one. And that was over 5 to 7 years ago, 10 years ago. But like, that's probably the last one where it's kind of like, oh, yeah, remember Dirk won one with J.J. Barea?
Correct.
Tyson Chandler?
Correct. And Jason Terry and Deshaun Stevenson.
Yeah.
And you remember who they were playing against?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I remember Dwayne Wade and LeBron James.
I was watching Deshaun Stevenson and Jason Terry play against LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
Do you remember Dwayne Wade and LeBron James making fun of Dirk in the tunnel? Yeah, they were coughing and making fun of Dirk. Dirk watched that footage and was like, all right, I got something for you in game 3.
Yeah,
I got something for you.
This is the first finals, I believe, since 2010 that doesn't feature LeBron James or Steph Curry.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron has been in 9 of the last 10. He's only missing when he's hurt, except for
and
this
so
year.
And so for each of these fan bases, while it's not the story brands of the Lakers and the Clippers, I mean, not the story brands of the Lakers and the Celtics, and I know it's probably not going to rate like the Golden State Warriors when Steph Curry is healthy and they had the Splash Brothers. But those fan bases are now going to get a chance to see something either that they've never seen or that they haven't seen since Kareem and Dr. J were playing for their teams. And that creates a new level of intrigue and enthusiasm around the league that continues to inspire teams like Memphis, who have a Ja Morant. Because here's what I'm going to always be against. 3-2-1, the Bucks lose, everybody wants Giannis to leave. 3-2-1, Luka leaves, everybody wants him to leave. Everybody wants Ja Morant to leave. Everybody's going to want Zion to leave. Like, I want these players and these franchises continue to build themselves out. And these 5 to 7 years continue to bring hope to a player like Dirk, for example, who could have did a KD and left mm-hmm. like he did OKC. But he's like, you know what? I'm going to stay. And he paid off because he got that championship that you just described.
Dirk was so sad watching his team lose.
They needed
him.
He was
just seeing it. He was sad. He should have come in. Well, now that you're talking about players leaving, I do want to mention this rumor that the Knicks, the Heat, and the Clippers are reportedly among the teams calling the Blazers to ask about a Dame Lillard trade. Jalen Anthony Rose. Is there any world in which Dame Lillard gets traded from the Blazers? Because I can't see it. I just cannot see it.
I can't see it either. I was going to say this on the TV show, but I didn't get a chance to. Just like we didn't get a chance to show Paul George in the Luka jersey, where he basically got the Heisman trying to swap jerseys with Luka after the game. Dame Lillard and Jason Kidd are both from the Bay Area. Anybody that listens to this podcast knows it wasn't a surprise that Terry Stotts was fired. No. And by the way, I'm not rooting for anybody to get fired. I'm never rooting for anyone to lose their job. But it does disappoint me when Lloyd Pierce gets fired. That's the headline. But when it's Clifford, he gets let go.
Mutually agreed to part ways.
Or when it's Terry Stotts, they mutually agree to part ways. Like that, that's a racial undercurrent that also highlighted why I wanted to get in this business to try to speak and help change some of the narrative that I felt like was happening. And since they're both from the Bay, and they let go of their coach. Two things. One, I guess they're not going to do like the Celtics and make him the president. Reg, where the gong at, Reg? Where you at on your A game? Y'all need the gong on that.
You got a gong?
Now.
Reg don't have no gong.
The rim shot. That's a rim shot right there. There you go. Since they're not going to give Terry Stotts the president's job like the Boston Celtics, Dame Lillard came out and said who he wanted the coach to be, right? Who did he say he wanted the coach to be?
I didn't hear that.
You got to open up your ears. Chris Haynes reported that he wanted it to be Jason Kidd.
Yeah, but then Jason Kidd was like, nah.
And once he reported that, Jason Kidd came out and said no because he didn't want to go into the process of interviewing when Dame already endorsed him. So you know what that tells me? They had an off-wax conversation. And Jason Kidd looked at him in the eyes and said, hey, dog, I'm the assistant with the Lakers. I'm reinventing myself after what happened with the Bucks. I'm going to get another job. And or I'm in a good spot right here because I get to coach LeBron and AD. I'm good right now. I need you to tell me, do you plan on being in Portland for the foreseeable future or not? Because if you plan on being there, of course he would have went to coach. He ain't turning down a job. You know who their owner is, right? Who the Blazers owner?
Starbucks guy?
Exactly. Unlimited funds. Unlimited funds. Right? And so if they want a coach, they can pay for a coach. To me, that's Dame saying to Jason, dog, I don't know. Maybe this year, but I can't say what I might want to do after that, dog. And then J. Kidd was like, good looking. I'm going to make sure that I withdraw my name from the candidates. You go work with them on their next candidate, Chauncey Billups. And y'all revisit that at the end of the season. But I'm going to stay. My name's Bennett. And I ain't in it. That's what I believe happened.
I love this theory so much. A couple things. Number one, the Blazers are owned by the Paul G. Allen Trust. Jody Allen is the chairwoman of the trust. Now, Mr. Rose, I love this because you connected a lot of dots there because it was curious the way Jason Kidd said, I don't even want to interview. I don't want to talk to y'all about it.
Who doesn't want to interview?
Why would he not want to have...
Just think about this, Jacob. Who doesn't want to interview? Juwan Howard going to fly out there and interview? He ain't leaving Michigan for that job.
No, but you just do it just to show your current employer that you're wanted, to up your leverage, your market value. You have the conversation. You build the relationship for maybe something down the road. The idea that Jason Kidd just removed himself is very interesting. And the way you connect the dots, they're both Bay Area kids. And you want Dame to stay in Portland like like anything. You know what I mean? I know you want Dame to stay in Portland his whole career. You want him to get that Dirk championship. But the idea that you would fix your lips and say that Dame didn't commit long-term to Portland via a off-wax conversation with Jason Kidd is very interesting, because I know where your heart is, and your heart is, I want Dame to stay in Portland until he's 70. I want Dame to coach Portland. I want Dame to own Portland. You know? Like, I know where your head is at. But for Jason Kidd to remove himself from the possibility of being the head coach, if that was due to an off-ice conversation with Dame, I don't blame Dame after what's happened the last few playoffs.
Here's what I believe. The same hourglass I have for the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson, when I saw Dame walk off the floor the other day and I saw his Nip Hustle tweet,
The nip IG post was interesting.
I got the same hourglass for Portland and Dame. Stay tuned.
The Northwest is mad at you today. I want to apologize to the entire Northwest region, the state of Oregon, the state of Washington, even Northern California at this point. Like, I just want to apologize to all y'all. I love the Northwest, but Jalen Rose is giving you some bad news.
That's our guy. He's still out there.
Giving you some bad news. Bad news for the Northwest right now. Jalen, Magic Johnson says Dennis Schroeder doesn't belong on the Lakers because he lacks winning mentality and attitude. If Magic's out on you, he got the whole fan base out on you. Like, what's Irvin? Irvin doesn't say things negative about people. But once he drops this, oh, you're gone. Dennis Schroeder is not going to be on the Lakers next year.
I'll tell you the number one chess move that I'm pretty sure Irvin, Magic Johnson, the Hall of Fame mogul, my idol, I'm going to tell you the one move that Dennis Schroeder overplayed his hand that I'm sure somebody like Magic Johnson did not like and will not get over. When he took Lakers point guard off his IG bio on the day of a game.
You're going to turn down $84 million.
Then y'all got bounced.
The day of a game seven.
Like, that's psychological sabotage, dog, in a lot of ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that gets to the text messages of the players on the team that see your face in the locker room and your face elimination in the game six.
I want to say this respectfully to LeBron. He'll admit this on the shop maybe in 2 years, 5 years. He'll admit this, what I'm about to say, when he get another ring. It's kind of, or when he retire or later. It's kind of like Tom Brady admitting that he didn't know how many downs was happening this year, and he thought he wanted a fifth down. I want to get these games right. At the end of game four, LeBron lacked aggression. And to me, he put it in idle at the end of that game to get ready for game five. Game five happened. They got waxed.
Oh, yeah. LeBron, after like 5 minutes, LeBron was like, all right, I'm good. I'm good on y'all in game five. We'll see what happens in game six.
5 or 6 minutes to go, LeBron went to the locker room.
Tunnel.
And game seven, Dennis Schroeder takes Lakers PG off of his IG bio, which obviously becomes a distraction in the locker room and within the organization. And so what I saw from LeBron is AD's injured. He has a groin. It's not going to heal this offseason. I'm going to punt on the rest of this year. I'm going to go and get ready for this Toons and Goons movie.
Yep.
Have a great summer. I had a short off season, only 71 days. I just played my 18th year. I'm 36 years old. Like, I'm about to enjoy my summer. That's what I saw. And as I bring it back to Magic, if LeBron and Magic are out on you, it's hard for Rob Pelinka to now walk into an office and tell the rest of the Lakers rest of the Lakers brass that, hey guys, I want to go ahead and get Dennis Schroeder this $80 million deal.
No, they already tried. He turned it down. He ain't getting $100 million from anybody right now. Jalen, I want to talk to you about something that I'm glad you brought up. I'm looking at your Twitter bio. Public charter high school founder, parentheses, nonprofit, ABC ESPN analyst, New York Post Renaissance Man podcast and column, best-selling author, Michigan Fab Five, NBA OG, Psalm 23. Can't get a J&J mention on there?
It's too long.
No. It says New York Post Renaissance Man podcast and column. So that's you can't say J&J's too long. The New York Post part got like 35 characters.
Let me tell you how bios work. And by the way,
I remember J&J used to be a part of this, though. So at some point, you went and clicked edit, changed it, and took J&J out. And look at that smile on your face. Look at that smile on your face. Everyone listening to this podcast, Jay got a sneaky, sly smile on his face right now.
Let me tell you how bios work.
I'm changing mine right now. You tell me how they work, because I'm changing mine right now.
Let me tell you how bios work.
Former friend of Jalen Rose is what mine's going to say.
I say this respectfully.
Whenever you say something respectfully, you're about to disrespect somebody. I feel like it's going to be me right now.
No, I'm not. I have so many accomplishments, I couldn't put them all on there.
You know what my bio says? Host of Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN at 2 p.m. That's what my bio says. Nothing else. Nothing else. You think I've never accomplished nothing? You think I don't have kids? I don't have a 20-year career? You think I haven't invented like 4 shows that's still on the air right now? No, I don't list any of that. I'm focused on this project only, which doesn't even get a mention in your bio. You know what? This is like dating somebody who don't care about you. I feel like Drake right now.
So let me.
No, I'm done. I'm done. Why am I doing this podcast?
When I look at my taxes.
You're having trouble talking. Now you're having trouble forming sentences.
When I look at my taxes at the end of the year, for some reason, it says 98% countdown and 2% Jalen and Jacoby.
Wow. I thought we had something, dog. But I thought we were building
honesty,
a brand.
I thought we were
lifelong friends, dog. And now you're sitting here talking about money.
I
want
to get back to the bio thing.
Let me tell you
how a bio
relationship
works. Let me tell you how a bio works.
Go ahead. Change the subject. Go ahead.
I'm not changing the subject. I'm talking about the bio. Let me tell you how a bio
works. My bio
works.
Says host of Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN at 2 p.m. That's what my bio says.
Okay, so for example, I can't list all of the shows that I work on. I can't have Countdown, Get Up, and Jalen and Jacoby.
I didn't ask you to list them all.
So I have ESPN analysts.
Listen, Countdown and Get Up ain't got your name on it. Countdown and Get Up, you don't do every day.
Well, when you get a chance, and when you watch Get Up, remember it's 2 jerseys hanging up, not just 1.
I'm gonna change your bio. I'm sure your password is like 1234. You know what I mean? I know
you're gonna have people trying to hack my Twitter to change my bio.
I'm sure your password is like 1234. Mariah 12. You know what I mean? I'll figure it out. It's like 5555. It's 81. No. I know your password's 81, 81, 81.
That would be the opposite. It'd be 181818, if anything.
Oh, man. Somehow you managed to hurt my feelings.
So what you do on a bio, Jacoby, here's how a bio works.
No. I don't want to talk about a bio. It's going to hurt my feelings, dog.
Let me tell you how a bio works.
I care about this show. You don't. That's the way this works. I understand.
I want to teach the young folks out there that want to come. And by the way, everything in my bio, those are championships. That's like 5 championships.
You've been doing the Renaissance Man for like 6 months. And it's got mad words. You've been doing J&J for 10 years, not even a mention. Don't even talk to me, championships.
So let me tell you what I did there. It's a bio, so you got to get the treetop things that are the companies that you work for. So I have ABC. I have ESPN. I have New York Post. I have NBA. I have best-selling author. Oh, by the way, Can I say this? Our producer, Demetri, is talking
words,
in my ear.
Actions speak louder than words. When you're trying to show the world who you are, you don't even mention this program. When you're trying to show the world who you are, when you're like, let's imagine somebody who's never heard of Jalen Rose, never heard of the National Basketball Association. They live in Mongolia, and they're like, oh, this man is interesting. Let me see what he's about. J&J doesn't even come up. The Mongolians don't even know that you have a show called Jalen and Jacoby, and you do this 5 days a week. You're on Get Up twice a week. You're on Countdown twice a week. You're on a conference call for this show every morning. This show's got your name on it. A prime spot in the afternoon on a major network and doesn't even get a mention. You don't even get haircuts for this show. You don't even put clothes on for this show. I'll see you on Get Up. You'll be on Get Up in a blazer and a button-up, and then you'll change out of that. You'll change out of that to put on a dirty hoodie to be on J&J. Like, you had nice clothes on like a second ago. You know? You don't care about this show. And why do I care so much? You know what? I can't change you. I'm going to change me. I'm going to stop caring. I'm changing my bio. My bio's going to be like, dad of three.
That's not how relationships work.
Yeah, it is. This relationship's over,
dog. But let me tell you something.
This relationship's over.
Our producer, Demetrius, just said something in my ear about my bio. D, just so you know, you got first take in your bio. This ain't first take.
Oh, so now who's paying attention to bios? Oh, now you checking out other people's bios? And you potentially, now that hurts my feelings even more. That hurts my feelings even more, dog. That hurts my feelings even more. So you're running around checking out other people's bios that work on the show to see if they mention J&J, and you catching feelings about it, but you don't even put the words Jalen and Jacoby in yours. Don't even put the words there. Talking about, it takes up too much characters. New York Post, Renaissance Man, podcast and column. You could just take out podcast and column and mention J&J. There you go. Problem solved. But you don't do that. No. Duh. You don't do that.
Duh.
Yeah. You're
Duh.
I'm done.
Hey,
I'm done. I'm done. The show's over. This show's over. Why am I spending my time giving podcasts exclusive to our podcast listeners?
Three TV shows, two podcasts, and write a column, dog. I'm just saying. I'm the only person in the game.
How many?
You know what I mean?
How many characters is that? You could even make a mention, three TV shows, two podcasts, and a column. You could even just say that, and I would be satisfied. But no, because you used to have J&J in your bio. You one day you said, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna click on my picture. I'm gonna click on edit bio. I'm gonna delete Jalen and Jacoby. Delete, 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 and then write something else. You know what? This podcast is over. I'm mad now. I'm mad. Drake got that song where he says like whatever
I'm upset.
That. No. The one where it's like, he's like afraid to tell my friends what I do for you, knowing that you wouldn't do the same for me. That's how I feel right now. Why am I putting so much time and effort and energy into this? Why do I wake up every day like making notes? I watch the game. I make notes about all the different games. I'm paying attention, make sure I don't miss a second. You know, do research for the show, for the pod, and you don't even care. I'm done. I'm done with this broken relationship. There might not be a show tomorrow. You know what? I'm gonna get Rosenberg in here tomorrow, man. I'm taking a day off. Get Ryan Russillo on the phone. Get Joseph Sikora in here. I'm done.
Shout
tomorrow.
To Joseph Sikora, by the way. Just interviewed him this week on Renaissance Man.
I'm done. All right, bye.
Sure did. I cannot make this up.
We might be back tomorrow. We might be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.
We're probably done.
We're not done.
We're probably done. We might be done.
I'm about to go edit my bio, or we might be done.
I love it.